They are very explosive. I think most of the listeners, older listeners, may be familiar with some of the movie house fires that were caused by quantities of it.
That was Paul McCarthy, Rasmussen Library Archivist of the University of Alaska Fairbanks. And I'm Stephen Lay of the UAF Public Affairs Office with this week's edition of University Focus. McCarthy was describing one of the two major dangers associated with nitrate-based films, which the archives have to face. Nitrate-based films were widely used in Alaska and the United States from the turn of the century until the 1950s. They are extremely flammable. The second danger associated with them is deterioration. As they age, film breaks down into a useless brown powder. As a result, their images are destroyed. Much of Alaska's photographic history was originally recorded on such film. Unless preservation work is done, much of the state's history will quite literally crumble away. To prevent this, Rasmussen Library has recently completed a one-year-long project to recopy its nitrate-based negatives and movies onto modern safety film.
The Nitrate Preservation Project came about because in looking through the holdings of the photograph collection that we have, we began to find increasing amounts of the nitrate negative film in the collections, and we were concerned about the long-term preservation of the images on these films and also the hazard that the films themselves constituted to not only themselves, but to the adjacent material, particularly other safety-based negatives. So it really came about as a concern of ours in terms of preservation of the original images and then also preservation of other materials.
The deterioration is in stages. Film in the earlier stages can still be copied. In the first stages of deterioration, it gives off a noxious acidic gas which eats away other materials in the vicinity. Careful storage and handling techniques, such as in the UAF archive, cannot prevent this disintegration.
Ironically, we had full range of deterioration with the nitrate negatives. Even those that seemed about the same time period could be either in very good condition or in the last stages where the emulsion had bubbled, where the actual base was so brittle that just handling it might crack it. So there was a variety of stages of deterioration, and our concern was to, at this point in time, we had an opportunity to preserve the materials in this way, and we made that choice. I know there might be in the future other varieties of preservation, but we thought that we needed to take this step now and to ensure that the negatives or the images were preserved at this stage of their history.
While some of the images were lost to old age, McCarthy said the bulk of the collections were saved. The historically significant material were recopied. In all, the archive staff recopied more than 8,000 images. In another portion of the library's preservation project, the Media Services Department converted almost 6 miles of 35mm film. Both the movie films and the still photographs preserved are, for the most part, from personal collections of longtime Alaskans who have donated the materials to Rasmussen Library. Visual records of the territorial days and frontier days, they represent a wealth of historic and cultural information.
The photograph collections are one of the most heavily used collections here, and this allows the researchers to come in and to have a much wider stock of materials, of images to review and to have a choice of.
Copies of most prints in the collections are available for individuals and researchers at a modest price. Including the now saved copies of nitrate negatives, there are now more than 85,000 images in the archives collection. Photographs record a great deal of the 19th and 20th century Alaskan history, but there are gaps that McCarthy would like to fill.
We're very much interested in acquiring additional collections of material, whether they're nitrate-based or safety-based film. As I mentioned, the collection is growing rapidly, but there are so many aspects of Alaska's history and development that have not been documented that we're always interested in examining collections of negatives or, in fact, prints, because we can make a negative from the prints that people have available. We're always interested in looking at them. We're delighted when people think of the archives and place original negatives or prints with us.
The archive section of the library is open weekdays from 8 in the morning to 5 in the evening for visitors or donors. This is the week of festivals at UAF. Today, KUAC started at Festival 81. During the 10 days of Festival 81, the public broadcast station will be conducting its annual fundraising drive. This year's goal is to raise $65,000 to supplement state and federal funding. On Monday, March 16th, the 8th Annual Festival of Native Art will begin at 7 p.m. in the Concert Hall. For 5 days, Alaska's Native peoples will present their traditional dances, songs, and stories. Admission is free. During the day, Native craftsmen will be demonstrating their skills and selling their arts on campus. Next weekend, March 20th and 21st, the University of Alaska Fairbanks Symphony Orchestra will present its annual Pops Concert at Alaska Land Civic Center. The theme for Pops 1981 is An Evening of British Music. Included in the admission price are generous portions of wine, cheese, and bread. For reservations, contact the Symphony Office in the Great Hall on the University campus. I'm Stephen Lay, and this has been this week's edition of University Focus from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, where education and research for tomorrow, today. University Focus is produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office at KUAC-FM.